הנה טובו מעניי, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב, הנה מה טוב, לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
We're excited this weekend to have Rabbi Hyland and Rebbetzin Rita Slobodkin leading our couples retreat, but we are also very pleased to have him with us today to share the Shabbat message. Rabbi Hyland is a Rabbi Emeritus of Beit Tikva Messianic Congregation in Seattle, Washington, where he has served since 1996. He has an amazing testimony. He is a highly respected rabbi in the movement, and Rabbi Kevin loves listening to him and knows you'll be blessed. So let's give him a big welcome, Rabbi Hyland.
That's quite an introduction. I hope I can fulfill the words there. I'll give you my 32nd. It's going to go on for 30 minutes, but my wife and I were hippies in the 60s, although she said she wasn't a hippie. She was just married to one. And we got married. We met in 1967, got married in 1968. She was 10 and I was 12. It was an arranged marriage from the old country, if you can believe that. And then we decided to go looking for truth in all the wrong places. And we decided to go to India to find a guru. And on the way to India, we ended up at a place called La Brie with someone named Dr. Francis Schaefer. Francis and Edith Schaefer, they had a community there, a Christian community, and they were telling us about Jesus. And we said, well, look, we're Jewish and Jesus isn't for Jews. And they said, but he was a Jew. And I go, yeah, I don't know how that works. And they said, well, we can explain it to you if you're interested. So we stuck around, and after many, many debates and arguments and soul searching and beginning to read the Bible for the first time in our lives, we accepted Yeshua, called him Jesus back then, 1970, Thanksgiving night, 1970. So this Thanksgiving night will be 55 years since I My wife and I accepted the Lord on the same night, and that's another story. If you go to One for Israel or go to YouTube and type in my name, I don't know if you know, there's a group called One for Israel in Israel, and they've done over 300 Jewish testimonies of different men and women coming to know the Messiah, and I recorded mine in Netanya in 2017, so it's on their website, and they have a funny title. The title is something like, Dr. Francis Schaefer makes Jesus real to Jewish Mr. Slobodkin. And I said to them, I said, you know, that's a really lame title. Can we come up with something cool? And they go, well, you know, it's all about algorithms and how people search for things. And sure enough, it worked, because my video has almost 300,000 views already. And God has used it, so it's a blessing. So my story. We went on to Israel. We never went to India. We spent a year in Israel. We lived on a kibbutz. We studied Hebrew on an ulpan. We still speak Hebrew together. Achon Chamudi. And after backpacking through 15 countries for 2 years, we ended up back in California where we started. And I went up to Northern California and got involved in, back then, the Jesus movement. in a church north of San Francisco. And that's where I was eventually licensed in 1978 and ordained in 1980. And then I probably shouldn't go on too much with my story. I said 30 seconds, didn't I? My wife's keeping me on track here. So if you have a Bible, we will be projecting some verses, but not this opening verse. This is in 2 Kings, if you want to follow with me in 2 Kings. Give you a minute to find scripture. 2 Kings is really easy to find because it's right after 1 Kings. Right behind 1 Chronicles, if you've got the old standard chronological order. The TLV has Chronicles at the end, which is probably more accurate. But anyway, 2 Kings chapter 4. Story about Elisha. Now, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me what you have in your house." And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few." We would probably say, get a lot. "And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons, behind you and your sons, and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. And it came about when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not one vessel more." And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest." She had one jar of oil. From that one jar, she filled many large vessels of oil. What do you have in your house? God always wants to start with something you have. But you say, "I don't have much." All the better for God to gain glory from you in your life. If you had much, then you and others could say, "Well, my success was because of me." But if you have little, God gets the praise and the honor and the glory. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for Shabbat. Thank you for Beth Hallel. We bless Rabbi Kevin and his family as they're away this weekend. Thank you for the heritage with Robert and Dottie, friends of ours from many years ago. And we thank you for the heritage that's here. Pray it would continue and flourish. And may I decrease and you increase tonight. In Yeshua's name. Amen. First scripture is from Matthew chapter 25. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." I had three friends, Mike, Roger, and Mark, and they were being prayed for because the church they were in back in the 70s, 1973, they thought they were potential leaders in their church, and they put them on the stage in three chairs, and they began to pray for Mike. "Mike, you're going to be an amazing pastor. You're going to shepherd the flock. God's going to give you many, many gifts, and you're going to remember people's names. You're going to be able to encourage the weak and the hurting, and you'll be an amazing pastor." Second guy was Roger. Roger, you are going to be a teacher. You're going to be able to open up the Word of God, and people are going to have their eyes opened and see the truth of the Word of God, and God's not going to stop. This will go on for many, many years. And then there was Mark. And they come over to Mark, and there's silence. And Mark's thinking, oh my gosh, they gave such incredible words to Mike and Roger. This is going to be amazing. They can't even come up with the words to bless me and my future ministry. And there's silence. And finally, one of the pastors says, you have been faithful with a few things. You will be made faithful in much. Amen. And that was it. And he was really bummed because they had these spirit-filled, visionary prayers for Mike and Roger. And Mark got even faithful in a little. You'll be faithful in much. Well, you know what happened at Mark? Mark was faithful in a few things. God gave him his first church, got up to 500. His second church got up to 1,000 and then 1,200 and now 1,500. And he was faithful in a few things. I know because I worked with him for 20 years. And he and I, when we started our church in Phoenix in 1986, we would get on our bicycles and grab a painter's tarp and ride out to the desert and find a mesquite or Palo Verde tree and put our tarp down and just pray. And those were our elders' meetings. And God grew it. You see, it's not about how much you have, how many gifts you have, how many talents you have, how much money you have, how often you volunteer at the food bank, or how much time you devote to spiritual things. God wants us to be faithful and trustworthy in just a few things. And if we can do them well without pride and narcissism, without complaining or sarcasm, God will give us more. God will give us more to steward. And that's how the kingdom of God works. There was nothing in the house except a single jar of oil. I can just hear God saying, that's perfect. That's exactly what I want. You see, God wants you to acknowledge what you have, not what you don't have. And this takes honesty and sincerity, humility, courage. It takes gratitude and a thankful heart. If you come to God with what you have, no matter how small or how little or how insignificant it seems to you, he will bless it. He will give you more to be faithful over. Reminded me of a story of Lauren Cunningham. Some of you know Lauren Cunningham founded YWAM, Youth with a Mission. In 1960, he had a dream. The dream was huge waves, like tidal waves, crashing on the shores of distant nations. And as they crashed on the shores, these waves continued into the cities and through the cities and into the countryside, flooding the area. And in his dream, God started telescoping in or zooming in to the water of these waves. And it wasn't water at all. They were all young people crashing onto shores and bringing the good news of Messiah to the cities and to the countrysides. That was in 1960. By the mid-90s, YWAM, Youth with a Mission, had over 30,000 temporary and full-time workers, the largest missionary organization in the world, and it began with a dream. Some of you may have heard of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor had a vision for China. He left England and began by becoming part of the Chinese culture. He learned their language. He wore their clothing. He grew a very long braid down to his waist. And at first, he had very little success for years. In fact, they cut off his funding because his evangelism wasn't producing fruit, but he was faithful to the call. After 51 years in China, he had started 125 schools, established more than 300 stations of work, they called them, and 500 local volunteers in 18 provinces in China. The China Inland Mission saw 18,000 Chinese give their hearts to Yeshua, and today, 118 years later, there are estimates of well over 1 million believers in China. Directly connected to Hudson Taylor and the work that he did over 100 years ago. Moses had a staff and a heavy tongue. By the way, that's the Hebrew. It's Ashon Kaved, a heavy tongue. But God used him to deliver a nation. King David began by tending sheep. He had one single stone and a sling. If you come to God with what you have, no matter how small or how insignificant it seems, He will bless it. He will give you more to be faithful over. See, the kingdom of God is like heaven. God wants us to be like heaven, influencing the atmosphere around us, spreading the life, the light, the love of God wherever we go. Be an inspiration to the world by being faithful with the few things you have, and God will bless it. God will multiply it. John chapter 6, verse 8. One of Yeshua's disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people?" And with this, Yeshua fed 5,000 men. By the way, there were probably an equal number of women. So there were a minimum, I'm guessing, 10,000 plus children. How many children were there? Another, I don't know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. There were, my low estimate is 12,000 men, women, and children were fed by 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. The first time I led worship, I was bringing my guitar to this Bible study, and I was just following along with the worship leader. And one night the worship leader didn't show up, and I had my guitar, and the pastor said, "Oh, Hyland, why don't you lead us in some songs?" And I said, "Oh, really?" And I opened up, we have these old books, you know, opened up a song book, and I had my guitar, and I remember I strummed a C chord, and I couldn't find the right note to start singing on. And the pastor said, "Oh, let's just sing a cappella." Well, that was about 1977, 78. By 1980, I was on the worship team. By 1982, I was leading worship. By 1986, we had moved to Phoenix, and I was the primary worship leader for this church that grew to over 800 because I was just faithful in that C chord and learning how to play guitar and worship. And you know, one of the fruits of that was our kids. Our kids grew up with worship in the house. I was always working on some songs, whether I was listening to them, playing on the sound system, practicing for Sunday morning, or practicing for our Bible study at our house that we had. And today they're all worship leaders. They're all worshipers, not worship leaders, but they are being involved. Now our grandkids are on worship teams, and that's really exciting for us. What's in your house? By the way, that's the title of this message. What's in your house? Do you have a jar of oil? Perfect. Do you have something small? Do you have a few things you can offer God? Or even just one thing? God will use it for His sake, for His purposes, if you let Him. And if you're not sure what to do with what you have, then pray. Find somebody maybe a little older than you, maybe more, a little more mature than you, to give you some input, to pray with you. Do not despise small beginnings. When Zerubbabel was rebuilding the temple, this is after coming back from Babylon, the prophet Zechariah records this in chapter 4, verse 8. Then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple. You know how they built buildings back then? It was a cornerstone, one stone, hewn perfectly, cut just so right, and they began with one stone. And he will complete it. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies, that's Adonai Tzavaot, some of you know the Tzavaot, it's usually translated Lord of Hosts. Tzava is army. Tzavaot is armies. This is actually a good translation. The Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. And can you just see Zerubbabel, the builder from Babylon, got that one stone in place. You know what a plumb line is? It's a long string with a weight on the bottom. Our modern plumb lines are a weight, weighs usually 5-10 pounds, and it forms a point, and it just gives us the level, the perfect level to begin to build the walls off that cornerstone. The Lord rejoices to see the work begin. God has begun a good work in you, and he will see it to completion in Messiah Yeshua. The Lord has begun a good work. Zerubbabel began the work, and it says the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. I know we want to do all these things. We want to accomplish this. We want to, whatever it is, you can just fill in the blanks. We all have our things we want to do, to accomplish. God rejoices to see the work begin. You know, Peter said to the lame beggar, I'm trying to remember, was that Acts 3 or 4? I don't have silver or gold. I don't have any money. But what I have, I can give to you. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, rise up and walk. He didn't have any money. The guy was begging at the Gate Beautiful. But he had belief in God. I've got this. I can give this to you. Will you receive it? And the man began walking and leaping and praising God. Elisha said to that woman, go gather empty vessels, and not just a few, but as many as you can find. Her sons were bringing these empty vessels as she was pouring from the one jar of oil. She began with what she had, and she believed God for more. Can you imagine taking that little jar of oil and pouring it into a big vessel, thinking, this is really dumb. What is this going to accomplish? But she was going on the word of Elisha. She was believing the word of the man of God who spoke to her. I don't know if you've ever heard Godfrey and Edith's story of how they met and their courtship. And it's really quite amazing. They heard from God. And Godfrey heard that Edith was going to be his wife. Edith hadn't heard yet. It's quite a story. If you ever have a few minutes to ask them, tell them your story. Have you ever shared that from the pulpit here? I would encourage Kevin, Rabbi Kevin, to give you 10, 15 minutes someday. Be very, very encouraging to the marrieds and the singles here. The woman began with what she had and believed God for more. trusted. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, or in earthen vessels. Fits right with the story here from 2 Kings 4. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. I should probably go back and read what the treasure was. Some of you know the verses. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Not 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. We do not preach ourselves, but Messiah Yeshua as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Yeshua's sake. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Messiah. We have this treasure. This is the treasure we have in jars of clay, in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from God and not from ourselves. We are hard-pressed in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, yet not forsaken. Struck down, yet not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Yeshua, so that the life of Yeshua may be also revealed in our mortal body. So here's the good news. We begin with what we have, and we believe God for more. When we accept the death of Yeshua as a sacrifice in our place, we receive forgiveness of sin. But when we believe he died and rose from the dead, we walk in newness of life. That's what Rav Shaul says in Romans chapter 6. Because of the resurrection, we get newness of life. And we remember Yeshua's death so that his life will be manifest in our mortal bodies. I love that verse in Romans 6 that says we are no longer slaves to sin. The chains are broken. We're no longer bound to that sin. Before the Lord, without his forgiveness, without the newness of life that we get because of the resurrection, before we confess our sin and repent, we're slave to that sin. But now in Yeshua, when you accept him, you are no longer slave to sin. Now, I don't know about you, but I relate to that quite well, because I was slave to sin before I knew the Lord. Some of you maybe were raised in a godly home, and let me tell you, you still had some sins that you need to confess and repent of. But you're no longer slave to them. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It just means we're not bound any longer. I love that verse in Jeremiah 31 where God says, I will forgive your iniquity and your sins I will remember no more. God, in his omniscience, has forgotten something. He's forgotten your sins when they're under the blood of the Lamb. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if you've ever heard that before. God purposes, he chooses to forget your sins. They were as scarlet, and they're white as snow. When her sons brought in the last vessel, the last empty vessel, the oil stopped. God wants to fill your vessels with the oil of joy, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. As long as you bring him empty vessels, he will fill them with exactly what you need. Being faithful in just a few things, he'll make you faithful in much. It's not how much you have. It's what you do with what you have. And everyone has a talent. Everyone has a gift, something you're good at, something you can do. Use it for the kingdom of God and watch what God will do. Last scripture is Philippians chapter 4. My God will fulfill every need of yours according to the riches of his glory in Messiah Yeshua. And that's a lot of riches. You know why? Because God doesn't only own the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God will fulfill every need of yours. It doesn't say every want of yours or every desire even. It says every need. The woman paid off her debt, silenced her creditor, saved her sons from slavery, and lived on the rest. God has paid your debt of sin. He forgives our debts as we forgive our debtors. He has silenced the devil, our creditor, who thinks we owe him everything when we owe him nothing. We are sons and daughters of God, saved from slavery, no longer slaves. We live by the grace of God, knowing that his love endures forever. Ki leolam chasdo. When Elijah thought he was all alone, God said, you're not alone. I have 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. You may think you're all by yourself. You're not. There's lots of people on your side, and with God on your side, who can be against you? I'd like the worship team to come up if they're available, or maybe just our wonderful pianist here and play something. Now, there's a song you had you wanted to close with, but I want to encourage you, don't underestimate the power of God. He has a vast eternal plan, thank you, Tevye, and you are a part of it. You may think you don't have much to offer. That's exactly the point. That's exactly where God wants you to be. You don't have much to offer. God will take the base things of the world and confound the wise. Maybe you don't think you're worthy enough to be used by God. You may think you're too quiet or too reserved or too hurt or too depressed, too discouraged, too busy, too angry, too frustrated, too distracted. Maybe you think you're too intelligent. Maybe you think you're too stupid. Maybe you think you're too proud or too boastful, or you're too short or too tall, or your hair isn't straight enough, or you're too poor. Or maybe you're just too sinful. It really doesn't matter. What's in your house? Do you have a small jar of oil somewhere? Let's stand together. What I'd like us to do is take a minute and just hold out our hands. Kind of like you're getting ready to receive something. Palms up. And if you could say this prayer with me and mean it, maybe you'll mean it more after you say it, but just repeat after me. God, this is what I have, and I give it to you. I commit to be faithful with these few things. Make me faithful over more. I want to enter into the joy of my master. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your presence here. Thank you for these saints who have come to worship you and to hear from you. May we not leave here unchanged, but changed, because your word does not return void, but accomplishes exactly what it set out to do. May we take this word now and apply it to our lives. May we leave here with something to chew on. Tonight and tomorrow and the days to come and weeks to come and months to come and even years to come, we'll be looking for how you are going to use the little we have for your sake and for your purposes. Let it be. Let it be.
Amen. God is good. Let the word dwell richly in you. Take it to heart.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah, or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and shalom.